We are going to reconvene and this is going to be the last sprint towards the relief of the end of these 2 days. I don't know.
Sorry, Mathieu, before you start, I know Eberhard has left, and I know he spoke to you, but he's also spoken to me and asked me to object for the afternoon
behalf. I object. He gave me his proxy.
No, he then gave it to me afterwards. I think you're fine. So.
No, I object to this procedural flow. I think both proxies cancel each other.
Eberhard has been profligate with his proxy.
That was off the record. So, I was announcing 2 last items before the coffee break, and I am delighted to say we have found a way to have one settled in the working parties because it was easy. And just as a reminder, the workstream 2 recommendations will be part, as Chris was saying yesterday, of a transitional article of the bylaws, and we will provide, it's actually already in the package of documents, a revised timeline to explain how the Workstream 2 process is going to take place, and so please do comment if you have comments on this so that, once again, we can demonstrate and ensure the community that the Workstream 2 items will be treated seriously, will be considered seriously by the board, and that we are in a position to ensure that they move forward in the end. And so the last item, substantial item, that we need to give work party direction about is the work party 3 discussion, which we touched briefly upon yesterday. And basically the remaining question for work party 3 is there anything in this package of topics that is Workstream 1. And with that, I move to Leon for sharing with us what is Workstream 1.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. This is Leon. And as discussed yesterday, and taking into account the different feedback and opinions that were received from all the attendants, either remote or present, the issues that would go into Workstream 1 with regards to SO and AC accountability would be to include a wording in our proposal, in our next document, so that structural reviews of each SO and AC include reviewing the accountability of those SOs and ACs to their respective constituencies and stakeholders, as the case may be. This would be the only Workstream 1 issue with regards to SO and AC accountability. The rest would remain as a part of our Workstream 2 work. And I will go with you, Chris. Just let me...
I'm just wondering whether that might be a red flag for some of the SOs that the whole community is going to do a review of their accountability, when they might feel that if there's going to be a review of their accountability, they are the ones that should be doing it, not having it done by the whole community. I'm not sure, but I can see politically that it's possible that that would be uncomfortable for a number of SOs and ACs.
But I think the proposal is that to use the structural reviews as they currently exist, mm-hmm. and have these reviews as they're currently performed, so by the SO and ACs,
plus
the Structural Improvement Committee, right. Include the word accountability as part of their scope.
I understand. Okay. Now, are we saying accountable to whom? To their members? To the wider world? To whom?
No, we are saying to their respective constituencies and stakeholders, as the case may be. Okay, so...
No objection.
No objections?
I am not seeing some. No
Sam, do you want to give a wild card objection?
It's not an objection. It's a question. So I have no objection to that proposal. But when you said about the accountability. It's accountability within the SO or AC itself. Is there a place for the conversation about that each SO and AC's accountability externally within the ICANN community as well? Is there a place that that's going to be discussed?
No, as Matthew stated, we are thinking about having the reviews as they exist now to include only accountability measures within DSOs and ICs. And we could add that for Workstream 2, definitely.
Sorry, Leon, I apologize for coming back, but I am actually confused, and it may just be the slide. It says perform a complete review on accountability by each SO and AC as part of Workstream 2. What that implies to me is that Workstream 2 is going to do a review of the accountability of each SO.
No, that needs to be corrected. That
okay.
will be corrected. Yes.
Thanks.
So next slide is...
Alan, is that an objection?
I'm sorry, Alan.
Well,
go ahead, please.
I don't accept objections,
thanks.
But questions are welcome.
Thank you, and my Adobe. My computer is not quite live yet. At one point, there were significant discussions on whether we are accountable to the larger community, which could translate to either the larger community or could evaluate to how much, at what extent you do outreach and try to involve the larger community. Is that to be included in that review, or are we looking just at those who are identify themselves as part of ICANN? I think it makes a big difference.
My recollection of yesterday's discussions on this were that it's within the community that is described by the AC or ASO, for instance, the CCTLD managers, whether there are members or non-members of the CCNSO, or ALAC for the at-large community as the RELOs and everything, but also the internet users as well. Is that clear? Excellent. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay, so we're good to go with SO and AC.
So this one is
accountability.
Good.
And I'm sorry? Kevin, do you want to say something?
Yes, I was not here when you discussed. I don't understand why include words on a structural review Workstream 1. What is the priority to do that under Workstream 1? It is Workstream 2. You could put some words, but the action will be Workstream 2. Why Workstream 1?
Well, it will happen in Workstream 2, as a matter of fact. We're just saying that...
Oh, the concern that we've heard from the public comment was that we were empowering the community as part of Workstream 1, and there was a need to balance these new powers with accountability of the accountability mechanism. So that's why it's part of Workstream 1. It's really part
of
Workstream
1. You can't do anything under Workstream 1 to do
that. The only thing we're doing here, we're not creating anything new. We're just using what's already existing, but also setting up something that is going to be a continuous improvement mechanism. So it's really a very tiny change, and then there are other issues that will be Workstream 2. So, next slide.
Thanks. Next slide is with regards to staff accountability. And here, the only thing that we would be thinking of as part of Workstream 1 would be to confirm what we have just heard by Becky and the IRP to the enhanced IRP to be adjusted so that it will be applicable to ICANN staff as well. So we've just already heard that. I won't go through that again. That's the only thing that we would be having as Workstream 1 with regards to ICANN staff accountability. The rest would remain as part of Workstream 2. And I see, Sam, do you have a hand up?
A question based on what we were discussing with the IRP today, and that there are portions of the work that are going to be shifted into Workstream 2. So is this a part of the work that will be within Workstream 1, or does this meet within the parts of the work that are in Workstream 2?
I'll let Becky respond to that.
I think I responded yesterday to this issue. I think that the IRP applies today to actions and inactions of ICANN, including the staff and board. So this is not a change in any way. We don't have to do anything.
Thanks, Vicky. So, any objections to
Well, no, it's already
to this? Okay. Next slide. Oh, I'm sorry, Sebastian.
Thank you. Yeah, just maybe it's, and we must have discussed that on the group before, but it's not ICANN staff, but ICANN staff actions, because the IRP, it's not applicable to the people, it's applicable to what they are doing, I guess.
Yes, maybe we can fine-tune that wording. Thank you. So next slide is with regards to diversity. And as discussed yesterday, we would be taking into account diversity when we create any new structures. So far in Workstream 1, we would be thinking, of course, on diversity with regards to the panel, the IRP, and we would be also evaluating whether and how we could address diversity within the community mechanism, council, or whatever you want to call it. And that would be the only thing that would go under Workstream 1. And the rest of the diversity recommendations would fall into Workstream 2. Are there any objections to this? Chris?
Not an objection, but how do we deal with the interim board, for example? You might have to excise that out as not having a requirement. So does that? So my question is, everything that is excised actually has to specifically be the diversity requirement does not apply to this. So it's an opt-out rather than an opt-in.
Well, for the board, it's the diversity requirements already exist. So
the interim board.
Yeah, but for the interim board, what I heard Holly say earlier was that it might be necessary to explicitly say that the diversity requirements are diminished for the interim board.
Fine.
Otherwise, you're in conflict with the bylaws.
Okay. So, having no objections other than the question raised by Chris, I'll go to James.
Or Asha was.
I'm sorry. I see Asha.
Can you hear me?
We do listen to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Asha.
Okay, thank you. This is Asha Emrajani. So I only wanted to ask if we could add a definition of diversity. I think this was mentioned yesterday but in the chat window, but there was so much traffic going on that may have been missed. Is that possible?
Thank you very much, Asha. We discussed this yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that it was practically impossible to define diversity in Workstream 1. So that's why we would be looking at different criteria and different mechanisms to try to achieve diversity as part of our Workstream 2 plan. So I don't think it got much traction, the idea of actually defining diversity as Workstream 1. So next on the queue, I have James Cannon.
Okay, so it's almost a direct follow-up from that. So I just want to be clear on what we're doing between the splits between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2. So my impression, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, in Workstream 1, we're essentially going to put in what's being called aspirational diversity. We're going to say we will try and have diversity, but we are going to work on the specifics and possible enforcement of diversity in Workstream 2, correct?
That is correct, James.
Thank you.
Okay, so having no objections, Working Party 3 would continue to work on developing our final document and, of course, deliver it so we can include it as part of our proposal for our next public comment. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. And we are now entering in the wrap-up phase of this meeting. And to start with, we started with the CWG requirements and conditions, and I think it's perfectly fitting that we invite Lisa Fuhr to the table. Yeah, just sit here. And go back to this list of requirements and see where we are standing. with these conditional requirements. It's on the screen on the AC room. So number one was the community rights regarding development and consideration of the ICANN budget. This is an item we haven't concluded on, and work is in the safe hands of Jordan and Work Party One to come back to us with a proposal on Tuesday, but I think we've clarified the requirements from the CWG as well as moved forward in terms of our own expectations for the budget and the impact that it should have during the discussion yesterday. Were you raising your hand, Alan? Well, I would suggest I go through the six, and then we open a discussion to make sure we're in line about the overall assessment. ICANN board the community rights specifically to appoint, remove members, and recall the entire board. I think we have a discussion on that earlier this afternoon, or tomorrow, this morning as well, by the way. But I think we've made good progress and recapped the various requirements that, once again, Jordan and Work Party One are taking on for our next call, for the calls that we have next week to finalize. So it's to be finalized, but we've made good progress. The INF function review incorporated into the bylaws, we haven't discussed this because it's okay, but it's part of the AOC review is incorporated into the bylaws. And that's certainly something where we are definitely in line with the condition. Customer Standing Committee incorporated into the bylaws. Well, as soon as we get, as the CWG drafts the description of the bylaws, I think that can be met, no problem. Appeals mechanism, independent review panel made applicable to INF functions and accessible by TLD managers, with the exception of CCTLD delegations and revocations, I should add, with my Ebrard proxy on. So that's been our discussion on the IRP, and I think we've made good progress once again into setting up this appeals mechanism. And the fundamental bylaws, so the fact that these mechanisms be incorporated into the fundamental bylaws. Fundamental bylaws is one of the items we haven't really dedicated time on this face-to-face meeting, but Jordan, in his capacity of rapporteur of Work Party One, shared an email of work that was actually conducted by Itsumi, if I'm not mistaken. We don't anticipate a lot of contention on this because it's been already quite supported in the first public comment. And so those, out of those six, we have the two first item to confirm and finalize next week. But I think we're roughly in line. And Lisa, would you like to add something about your overall feeling about the alignment?
Yes. Thank you, Mathieu. I've had discussions with Jordan regarding the ICANN budget, and as I said during that session, it's very important that IANA has its own rules regarding this, and how that's going to be formed, that's also that's up to you guys, but I've talked about the specifications with Jordan, and then we need to consult on the final result with the CWG. So I've tried to give some directions on this, but I sense we're on a very good track. We all have a lot of work to do. The CWG has to, as you say, make the specifications, and we really have to get going on this. So we can't we can't sleep on the laurels, or how you said anymore. We have to get going again. And from being part of these discussions, it's been very helpful for me, and it's been helpful for us as a group. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, and we really appreciate your time and your presence and openness to discussion within this group. So I have Cavus, and then Cheryl is acting as a proxy for Alan.
Thank you, Cavus. Matthew. Who was me or Madeline? Yeah, thank you, Matthew. I understand that the IFR will be included in the fundamental bylaw as a separate item without any relation whatsoever with IRRP. Am I right or not? So please be clear. So we should not be included in that. We should be clear whether it has any relation with IRP that make them interdependent, which make it quite difficult, or which does not have. The reason I'm raising this question is because of the ICG must be quite clear that issue of the IFR was discussed in CCWG, and it was decided to be properly addressed in the fundamental bylaw as a separate item without any interdependence or connection to IRP. Please confirm that. Thank you.
I think that can be confirmed. Yes, I see nodding, and I'm not seeing any doubt in anyone's mind, so let's confirm that for the record so that that can be reported to the ICG. And Anand is next.
Thank you. It dawned on me that PTI and IANA could use the IFR, could use the IRP to question the results of an IFR. I cringe in thinking about it. The question was just a very simple one. Number one, on budget, is the critical thing for the CWG the ICANN budget or ensuring that IANA is properly funded?
Both. I must say, because first we have to ensure that the IANA budget is separate. So it has its own budget. That's number one. The other issue is if the ICANN budget as a whole is vetoed, you don't necessarily want to veto the IANA budget. So you need to have those two issues in mind.
That's why I asked the question. The issue is protecting the IANA budget. In other words, if we have a veto or not of the ICANN budget, we somehow have to segregate IANA and make sure it's protected. You're not really concerned about ICANN fiscal management. It's IANA that the focus is.
It's going to be related because some of the services are shared, and a big part of the IANA budget, even as a subsidiary, is going to be shared with some of the functions of ICANN. And Jordan wants to
add to that. To make a workable protection for the IANA functions, does require us to have a little bit of a clip-on to the budget veto process, coming from Lisa and Mai's discussion just 20 minutes or so ago, that blowing up the entirety of the ICANN budget might not be the thing to do, that it almost needs to be a micro-level community scrutiny of the IANA budget specifically. So I think we can plug that into our proposal and use similar mechanisms and so on. But, for instance, some of the thresholds might be different. Given the sensitivity of the IANA budget, maybe there can be a slightly lower threshold for a community veto because it needs to be more sensitive and so on. So what I'm trying to do now, I'm just writing up our conversation that we had. I'm going to send it to Lisa for a first review, and then I'm going to put it on the WP1 list for us to all see and comment on.
Thank you, Jordan. Bruce.
Yeah, just a comment here. I think what I'm hearing with respect to the CWG is what you want is continuity, which isn't... I think that's the same with the whole ICANN budget. I don't see it any different. As Chris pointed out earlier, the IANA will be a separate entity. It'll have its own budget. That'll be published, and that can be clear. And then I think what you're really just saying is that, along with all the other sort of operational functions of ICANN, like it's still doing compliance, still doing a whole bunch of stuff, that in a veto process, my understanding is what you're saying is that if you're vetoing a new budget, you're still supporting that the continued operation of ICANN in its continued operating mode, you know, whether it's IANA or any other function.
James?
So 2 points. So Jordan, just I'm not sure if I misheard. So I don't believe there's been any discussion of a veto of the IANA part of the budget. That should be a sacrosanct So I'm not sure if I misheard that there would be thresholds needed to veto the IANA budget. I may have misheard. I'd appreciate if I have.
Maybe we could... you can respond briefly, Jordan, but let's make sure we do not start the discussion that we'll need to have on Tuesday or Thursday on this. Jordan.
I was going to say largely the same thing. We have to get something that's workable and gives the CWG comfort. I'm sketching out an idea of what that might be. I'm not saying that's going to be the idea. So.
Issa?
And I'd like to repeat, I'm not signing off of anything. It's going to be signed off by the CWG as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you.
And my second point.
You have a second point, James.
Sorry,
go
just,
ahead.
Just to Bruce's comment, and I think we need to be very clear that we had a discussion about the difference between the IANA budget and other no less critical but separate parts of the ICANN budget, which may be under discussion, that they may be included in a slightly different mechanism. So we need to be very clear that we had that discussion, that the IANA would be specifically ring-fenced, separate from any other possible ring-fencing for security and stability.
Thank you, James. Cavus, and then we'll probably close that item.
Yes, I see a difficulty if we connect IANA budget to the overall budget due to the reason that if the budget is rejected or vetoed and is under a process of IRP and so on and so forth, it might have direct impact on the IANA budget. So like the IFR, it should be separately treated.
Thank you, Kevin. That's something we'll take into account, obviously. So with that, I would like to thank Lisa for her outgoing presence, her guidance, but also being here and sharing with us these 2 days in Paris underground, despite the nice summer weather. That's very much appreciated, Lisa, and always a pleasure. And look forward to the upcoming coordination calls that we'll have together. Which we do. Thanks, Lisa. And with that, I'm turning to Thomas for our item about next steps.
Okay, so we're trying to keep this very brief. There are a few points that we need to touch upon. And for those that consider leaving the room early, we would like to take a picture with all of us to document that we've been here. That's something that you can show to your grandchildren and grand-grandchildren. I was there and I made history. I was part of it. The question is, what are we going to communicate to the outside world? So we've been working on a statement, on a communique, and I will ping-pong the ball right back to Mathieu, who will briefly introduce the contents thereof.
I would start with a process approach. And Becky, do you want to say something?
I'd like to object for Eberhard.
Yes, I was about to say that, for the record, the communique or statement, the co-chair's statement, it's a co-chair statement that we're introducing, has been drafted during these sessions, and in order to incorporate the outcome of our discussions rather than drafting it beforehand. And it will be circulated to the group in order to leave, I think we left 12, 15 hours last time of response time before it's published. So probably it's going to be published on Monday, right? I'm looking at Teresa and Hillary, probably on Monday. Okay, so that's the process. In terms of substance, I don't know if one of the versions that's being ping-ponged lately is sufficiently clean to be shared. But, and I'm opening it myself,
there would be obviously a number of informations about the fact that we've met, the number of participants. I think we had 76 group members and participants attending in person, and an additional 30 joining remotely. So we're breaking the 100 barrier, which is quite amazing. And what I find amazing is the progress that we've been making despite the size of the group. We would note the participation of several members of the ICANN Board of Directors and GAC representatives, as well as external advisors and local stakeholders. And then move into some of the key discussions that we've had. Of course, we cannot cover everything in this. Probably we owe some feedback to the community about the community model, community empowerment models discussions. So the proposal that's here is about explaining that we are now working under the assumption that we're going to follow the sole membership model as part of Workstream 1, and explaining that it's under this model the SOs and ACs would collectively participate together as the sole member of ICANN, and through this coordination they would be empowered. And reminding as well that this was part of an effort to investigate also alternative models like the empowered SOAC membership and the empowered SOAC designator, and providing some information for the community about the documentations that's related to those models as well. This is to ensure the community that the choice we're making is a documented choice, as well as a choice that is that has a rationale and was duly considered. We would also like to note very useful feedback we've received from GAC members, so acknowledging the 31 submissions we've received, which were intended to clarifying the positions of the GAC members with regard to the vision of the role of governments in the post-transition environment, and highlighting that our discussions were focused on identifying the common requirements, such as the role of governments with regards to public policy and the assertion that the ICANN Board of Directors does not act outside of ICANN's bylaws, assuring. Okay, so that's this fine-tuning coming, but and we would also propose to acknowledge that governments and the way they have to work due to their specific nature means that some of the decisions would not be compatible with a time frame that ends in Dublin. And as a consequence, we at least agreed to, at a minimum, work on the basis of an advisory role of the governments in the context of the new community model. That would be our proposals for a very brief summary on this aspect for the community. I see Thomas' hand is up. Please, Thomas.
Thank you, Mathieu. I think if you could quickly scroll back to the... I will dictate you 3 more paragraphs if that's okay for you. No, I'm joking. Just if you take the first...
It's too late. I'm not taking jokes anymore.
The first sentence, I don't think it was foreseen during the ICANN meeting that 31 members would submit individual contributions. I leave it up to you, the formulation, but basically there was an invitation from the GAC to individual members to give their views, and 31 responded. Maybe you just reformulated
right,
in a way that...
We sort of merged two things together.
Just a signal, maybe you make 2 sentences, that's better. Thank you very much. I will send you the 3 paragraphs later. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for being so concise on 3 paragraphs, Thomas. It's very much appreciated. Cavus, your hand was up. Cavus and Olga.
Yes, under the sole community members or sole members, would you also indicate that under certain circumstances and for certain topics, there may be a need to have this community forum or community council? It was mentioned, and it should be good to mention that.
So,
in an appropriate way, that was discussed today, that in certain...
You would like to see a mention of the fact that in this model, the community... Before decisions are made, there would be a community forum where the different parts of the community would exchange views before making decisions. I think I'm seeing a lot of nodding, and I think it's a very useful addition. So definitely take the suggestion on board. And I see Hilary is acknowledging that she's going to add this in the draft. I know I have Olga and then Alan.
Thank you, Chair. Could you show the next paragraph, please? There is a sentence that says the group agreed to move forward by preserving at the minimum the GAC advisory role in the context of work stream one. We don't agree with that sentence. We think we don't have a common ground of acceptance of such a
role. So you would rather remove it?
That's my suggestion. I don't know if other colleagues agree with that.
Thomas?
Olga, very briefly, I have not heard anyone speaking against preserving the advisory role. There are some that want something in addition to the advisory role, or Pedro indicated that there might be a trade-off at a later stage of voting rights against advisory role, but I think it would be a good signal to the outside world that the governments are acknowledging they're keeping their advisory role to the GAC. They can advise on public policy matters this new mechanism at a minimum, right? And whether there's going to be change is up for discussion. So we keep the door open. That's the message that's in there as well. And I heard you asking for flexibility, for not being diminished. And that's what we try to capture here. In fact, it's the mandate is broadened insofar as advice will be accepted for the community mechanism.
Alan, if you were not about to speak to that, I would request your permission to go to Pedro first.
The thing is that for certain governments, the minimum is not the advisory role. They are unsatisfied with the advisory role, want something more. The minimum for them would be to have more than that. So I think I wouldn't agree with the sentence that they agreed to preserve at the minimum.
Would something that would say that at least in the context of Workstream 1, the group agreed to move forward with an advisory role of the GAC, both to the board and the community mechanism? No, you're not sure.
Not sure. I think you said we have until Monday, is that right?
We'll have probably 12 hours after this meeting.
Okay.
Well, probably a little more. It's nighttime. Mm-hmm. I don't know, up till noon tomorrow, local. When are you? Do you have something about... Okay, 23:59 UTC on Sunday could be practical. So that leaves a little bit of time to suggest amendments.
Okay.
Caboose?
Yes, what Olga. I told this morning, this is what I'm saying. I don't talk about other GAC members. Says that GAC maintain its current role as in force, advisory capacity, and will participate. We should not be excluded from any other rights that giving to other SOAC within the new the concept of the sole community advice. We don't want that we just remain advisory, we do not participate in any activity of change of bylaw or anything. So it should be maintained that we would like to retain the current role that we have as exists, and any other actions that other SO and AC will be authorized to perform within the new arrangements. Thank you.
Something about retaining the role is important to you. So, Olga and Paul.
Thank you, Chair. What I would like to say is that this document will go to the general public, to the whole world, not present in this room. We all know what we discussed here, but if you read the document, you give the impression that there is an agreement in something, and it is not. So that's the point.
I'm not that attached to this sentence, actually. I'm willing to. Anything that is not getting immediate approval here, I think we should avoid in a statement anyway. That's not the point. So, Paul, is that okay with you?
I just, in response to what Caboose said, I don't think there's agreement that GAC both maintain its current role and, if it chooses to, gain a role as a voting member within the new single-member model. My own view, I don't know who else I speak for, is that the GAC can maintain its current role, and I will have no objection. Or it can join the new group and be subject to all the same rules as everybody, all the SOs and ACs, and I will have no objection. And that's up to it. But it cannot have both. It cannot have its cake and eat it too. And I understand that is not consistent with what some of the governments in the room say, but I do also think that in general, that formulation is what the majority of the people in the room have adhered to, and certainly the overwhelming majority have adhered to the view that it would be appropriate to guarantee the GAC its continued advisory role with respect to the board. I didn't hear anybody object to that going forward.
All right. So we're moving this sentence away. Avery? No, Alan, I'm not. Overseeing Alan is... Sorry.
Since you intervened 17 people between me and my hand, just for the record, I don't agree with what Paul just said. I don't think it's. I am not part of the overwhelming majority that believes what he said. In any case, that's not why I put my hand up, and I'm not even sure I remember why I put my hand up now. Hold on.
Yes.
Yes, I now do remember. About 20 minutes ago, you said we should add a statement in, at someone's suggestion, that we will have a community council or forum. I would suggest we not use the word council or forum, both of which have very specific meanings within ICANN, and try to pick a new word which conveys the same meaning. It's not going to be an open forum on a Thursday. And it's not going to be a council as in part of an SO. So if we can avoid those words, we may not misset expectations.
Thanks. I think Hilary confirms. You know, in CENTA, the European Professional Association for CCTLD Managers, we do jamborees. Anyway, Avery.
Yeah, Boy Scouts do jamborees too, I hear. Aubrey Doria speaking. I want to agree with Paul completely on the either-or situation, so maybe it's not the overwhelming, but I definitely want to agree with that. But I also, in terms of the council, I pretty much agree with Alan, except that I had this feeling that the model that we're taking sort of obviates the council forum, whatever we've got there, that it really needs to be reviewed now that we've taken up that particular model. So I think it's probably worth saying that idea needs further...
Okay, but I would note that this discussion is now closed. Jordan? Okay, thank you, Jordan. That was very efficient. And I note a question from Holly in the chat about the document towards which we would link to produce information about the SOAC models. I suppose this was the slides provided in advance
of this meeting to compare the three models. And I see nodding from Hillary, so that's for the record. Okay. And so our action item is going to be to circulate an updated version of this document by tonight and give you until 23:59 UTC on Sunday to comment, and then the co-chairs will publish the statement with the support of ICANN Communications. Back to you, Thomas.
Yes, and I'm going to keep this very brief. In terms of next steps, as you know, we have a public comment period coming up. For that public comment period to be opened, we need the next version of the report, and we need to have consensus. Right? So we will make sure that we schedule the discussions in the next couple of telephone conferences in such a way that we can have two readings as to our agreed decision-making methodology to get consensus on all areas of our work. We will have a package to go out to the community that does not include any alternatives, but it's going to have one proposal, one cohesive proposal for the community to review. Had you asked me yesterday morning when I woke up whether I would be confident to make this statement, I would have said no. But I'm always confident. But I think what we should try to remember as we go home, still there are some wrinkles to be smoothed out, right? We're not yet there, but we've addressed all the components of what is needed. We have clear instructions on how to move forward with most of them. There are some remaining issues for some of them. But if you remember, we used the analogy of an accountability architecture. And if you use that, then maybe we knew what rooms we would want in that building. One, the IRP, one for the community powers. But what was missing until today was confirmation of the foundation that everything should be based on. And the breakthrough for me in this meeting was that now we have had two readings on the community mechanism, i.e. the foundation. So I think this is great. And all of you have done an awesome job in contributing very high quality, being constructive in a give and take, and coming up with a solution. And let's keep up this momentum and the spirit of solution-oriented working efforts in the next couple of days, and I think we will be good to go to keep up the idea of showing that the multi-stakeholder model works. I think I should leave it there. In the statement, you've heard what we've achieved. I think I don't need to repeat that. If you go through the agenda, you would see again what topics we've been working on. All this has been very impressive, and some of the discussions I only vaguely remember because it seems so far apart because this meeting has been so long. But I would like to conclude, before we come to the picture, by saying thank you to our excellent staff. So let's give them a round of applause. To the technical folks that made us hear each other and made us be heard by the rest of the remote participants and vice versa. Let's thank Xplain for supporting us. Let's thank Willy, Lee, and Jan for being the expert advisors that are working so hard sitting with us here and giving excellent advice. And let's give a big hand to the remote participants. It's so hard to stay on the phone for such a long time. Awesome. And thanks to all of you, and now we're going to take a picture, right?
Thanks to you, co-chairs. Great job. Great job.
And finally, I think the breakthrough that we achieved was achieved with the great help of Rosemary and Holly. So, okay, this meeting is now adjourned, and let's have a picture. I think we should take it here, right? Where do you want it? Hillary?
Hillary, do you have instructions for us?
Where do we take the picture?
Yes, yes.
Yeah? Okay. Let's...